Okay, brothers, let's wrap up with this third session. The various comments by the brothers that came to me continue to be very strengthening and encouraging. So, from the sheriff, he had something more to say. He said, you know, those riot lines or whatever, the lines, you know, you stay there. You don't go off, break ranks and go and help someone because someone needs help. You just stay there. So brothers, don't break ranks. Don't go off and say, I can do better. I can help. You break the ranks and you lose the defense, and that becomes a breach. So let's stay together, the churches, and just stand together against the enemy. Now, do not, just because of the way we fellowship, do not underestimate the potency of this letter. We cannot underestimate. It is powerful. To ignorant minds and uninformed, to the uninformed, usually, it is very, very potent. So I just say that again for our prayer and also for our kind of awareness of the saints. And if you hear something, don't just dismiss it like no big deal. This is poisonous. On the other hand, brothers, we also are comforted that, you know, this thing is still not this big fire like the 1980s, which is a lot worse. But even that sovereignly this happened to wake us up and to cause us to be more vigilant in facing these things, especially with the younger generation. So I think we should sort of take that warning from the Lord and really rise up and do our job. Now, talking about that, many, because of our young generation, many are not inoculated, you know, as such. And that means they have no germs in them. And you know, vaccination is to put germs in a controlled manner into you to create antibodies and whatnot. So sooner or later, our saints need to face the germs. Brother Gerald Chan gave a funny story that morning, very telling. He said he took his son, who was in Acacia Wood School down south, to Taiwan. He took his his son's class, you know, all to Taiwan. To China. and there he took them to McDonald's. McDonald's, right? It's not some street food, it's McDonald's. All of them got diarrhea. Except his son, who lived in China. Everyone got diarrhea in McDonald's. So the point being that his son was exposed to the Chinese germs, or whatever you call it. But all these American kids, clean, you know, hygienic, and, you know, U.S., you know, all the kitchens have to have an A, you know, and so on. So they are quite kept, but yet they have no antibodies. So we're not trying to infect everyone, but brothers, you get the point. Sooner or later, we all need to be immunized. We all need to face the germs. Otherwise, we're just this plant in a greenhouse that couldn't stand anything when the storm hits and when things come. So this may be, you know, if you look at it positively, a way for many of our young brothers and sisters to become immunized and to have build resistance within them. So for that reason, the we are working on some kind of more long-term inoculation where we will expose germs, them to germs, but in a proper kind of a way in the coming days, okay, in the coming days. All right. One more thing, Shuming pointed out, I was wrong again. He's good with this kind of thing, and I wouldn't say correcting an elder, but I would say. So I used the word wrongly, misquoted Brother Lee to say Corinth is a normal church. In fact, he said the opposite. He said Corinth is an actual, real church, actual and typical church, typical. But it is not normal. And it is improper, okay? So that's what Brother Lee said. So I misquoted him, so I hope you can strike that part from my last fellowship. Okay, brothers. On this matter still, please stay in touch, and we will stay in touch with you. And if there would be cases that requires that you cannot manage or address, please don't just keep it to your church. Open to the co-workers, open here, open to us. We're just here to help, right? Okay. All right, now we need to spend some time, or I need to spend some time to talk to you about this so-called third meeting or gateway meeting that we talked about here the last few times on Lord's Day. So we started with this thing called family training for a year or less on Lord's Day, and we all kind of try to do that. Well, at various times of his ministry, at least in this country, Brother Lee promoted certain things, not in a legal way like this is the way to do things, but for us to consider. And even, I use this word positively, experiment. Because only God is perfect. He does everything right the first time. With us, the opposite, right? We usually does it wrong the first time and a few more times. So we need to experiment properly, purely, not breaking any spiritual principles, like bringing in worldly things and crazy things. But we need to learn from doing. Brother Lee went to Taiwan for 5 years to experiment to find out the God-ordained way. But even the God-ordained way is not one way. You know, this is the way. He just came forth with principles. So one time he talked about family training. He promoted that. And another time he promoted preaching, teaching meetings. I remember that. He in fact gave us the first outline to do preach and teach. You know what that is? It's from Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. The first preaching, teaching meeting is the present evil age. He used that for teaching and preaching. This is in early 80s. All right? And then the other times he would advocate this and advocate that. For example, you know, some Chinese brothers would go to Brother Lee. This is in the 80s, and there was an influx of new ones in Southern California. A lot came in. And Brother Lee, the brothers opened to Brother Lee. Brother Lee would say things to them that he would not say things to the American brothers. Oh, he realized hundreds of new ones. He said, you need to help them regeneration on exercise the Spirit, consecration, baptism, all these what we call new believer stuff, you need to help them. Why? Because that's the need. So here I would like to say something concerning this so-called third meeting, so that we're on the same page. Okay. Now, first of all, the fact that we have been practicing our Lord's Day, you know, generally, does not mean the way we practice is the best way. It's the traditional way. It's not bad. But it does not mean it cannot be improved. You agree with me? In the Lord's recovery, we should be progressive in the sense that we should always be seeking a better way to do things with the view of building up the saints, edifying the saints, and building up the church, the local church. All right. In other words, we should not be stuck to this is the way. You read the Acts. You tell me, how did they meet? Well, I will tell you in Troas. Is that how you pronounce it? Troas. The apostle was there. And they broke bread. And he started to speak. And spoke a little too long. So someone fell off the balcony and apparently died. That he had to perform a miracle to wake him up or raise him from the dead. That clearly tells me they broke bread at night. And at night, there's no prophesying meeting. Paul did a one-man show. Did that occur every Lord's Day? I don't know. Probably not, because Paul was not with them every week. So, brothers, it's easy for us to fall into a formality and think this is the only way to do it. And form kills. Any kind of form, even the best form. In the beginning, a lot of practices are of the Spirit, with the Spirit. After a while, the Spirit is gone, the form remains. The practice remains. That becomes a dead practice, and that's what we call forms and rituals, which is abundant today in the Christian realm, even among us. So I hope you would see this, all right? Now generally all of us meet in the morning on Lord's Day, right? I think some churches still meet in the evening to break bread. And nothing wrong with that. But by and large, we all meet in the morning. But the morning meeting, some churches, even in the Bay Area, meet at 9:30. Some meet at 10. I don't know if some meet at later. I don't know. But it's all over the place. Brothers, there's no right. There's no wrong. It depends on the brothers, on that church, on their situation. In these things, we need not unify. You know, unification? We need not unify. All right? We need not be legal. So there is flexibility. There should be flexibility. You know, without flexibility, something is dead. Life is very flexible to meet environment, different changing environments and changing needs. You need to be flexible. You used to have no kids in your marriage. You live one way, then the first kid comes. You have to adjust your marriage life. And then the second kid comes. You need to adjust it again. And so that's life. That's life. It evolves, it changes, and you have to also adjust yourself to keep up with the changes. Okay. I hope some of these kind of bases are clear. Now, on Lord's Day, we have only a small window. Typical, you know, already we meet longer than most Christian places. it's most Christians cannot handle the way we meet. And it's amazing how accustomed we are to long meetings in the recovery, expecting everyone to be able to do this. I mean, at 30 minutes, they're squirming already. We're still saying, hey, two more hours to go, praise the Lord. You see the point? So, brothers, so we need to realize these things. That's a fact. And now we're talking about, brothers, this Lord's Day morning. It's not just a Lord's Day morning thing. This is not Sunday school. This is not Sunday morning worship. This is not come of a form. We are in an organic church life. Everything is life. So this Lord's Day morning, even our meeting life, is not holding up, keeping up forms. We meet to do what? Huh? We meet to serve the Lord. We meet to enjoy Christ. Am I right? We need to worship God. We need to receive spiritual supply. We meet to shepherd one another. We meet to build up the church. Our meeting, our view of meeting is much higher than the general Christian view of Christian meeting, which is Sunday morning service. But even with them, they need to keep the attention. That's why they have bands and they have whatever, just to keep the energy, right? The interest, the focus. All right. Now, I'm not here to criticize. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about ourselves. Actually, the whole matter of our meetings in the church needs improvement. There's much room for improvement. The spirit of our meeting, the content of our meeting, the effectiveness of our meeting in meeting diverse needs. All right, talk about diverse needs. We come back now to Lord's Day morning. So assume that we don't go to evening. We meet in the morning somehow. That's usually 2 hours, 2.5 hours, or something like that. Okay, but we have many needs to accomplish because that's Lord's Day and first day of the week, and during the week, we don't have that kind of luxury to have that much time to meet. So we meet only in evenings, prayer, right? In the homes and this and that. But Lord's Day is when the church comes together. And this is also the culture of the society, at least in a Christian country like the U.S. That's the day when people are off. And that's the day where people are expected to go to church traditionally. That's just the way it is. Again, right, wrong, that's just the way it is. So in order to take care of the people, new ones, seekers, and all that, that is also the right time to meet their need as well. So the meeting time becomes a time, number one, to meet God's need. Right, even God needs food. Right, God needs to be worshipped. God needs to receive the offerings from us, and the Lord needs to be remembered. We're to remember Him. That's why we have the Lord's table. That is in remembrance of Him. So there's a need there. The Lord has a need. We gather together to meet His need. Then our saints have need. The saints need the word. That means the saints need to be supplied. Saints need consolation. The needs saints comfort. They need what? Edification. The saints needs building up. So there's a need there. Then I would say there is a third need, and that is the need of people who are not in the church, at least not yet. They could be non-Christians. They could be Christians. They could be old, they could be young, you know. And that when we talk about gateway, we have quite a burden along that line. But let me say, actually, I jump over. There is, among even the believers ourselves, there is another category, and that is the backslidden saints, the dormant saints. They don't come to the meeting frequently. they have a need. And that Lord's Day morning is, they would come, how to meet that need. Then, of course, the unbelievers, and also seeking believers, how to meet their need. Okay, so it's hard to have to meet all the needs in one meeting. You almost end up meeting nobody's needs. All right, so in whatever order, the Lord's table is to remember the Lord. That's to meet God's need. Actually, the Lord's table is not for you. It's for the Lord. Both the Son and the Father, right? To praise Him, to remember Him, and so on. Okay. It's not a ritual. It's not Holy Communion. This do in remembrance of me. Okay. The second thing is to meet the saints' need, right? The saints. Saints, the brothers and sisters. So we have this prophesying meeting. Prophesying meeting, I even hope to not use the word prophesying meeting, because in 1 Corinthians 14, there's no such thing as prophesying meeting. It just talks about prophesying as a activity, as a exercise of gift, right? All can prophesy. We have a wonderful message this time in Numbers. Okay, but that prophesying in 1 Corinthians 14 is very clear in its purpose, and that is to strengthen the saints, supply the saints, build up the saints. Right? No, talk about unbelievers who would see you prophesy and fall on the face. You do have that, but primarily it is to build up the church. Some, I think in Burlingame, they are trying to call this the each one has meeting. I said, that's not bad. This is actually in 1 Corinthians 14. When Brother Nee first advocated a recovery of such a meeting, he simply called it the 1 Corinthians 14 meeting. A very long title that apparently didn't catch. So, no, read Church Affairs. So, whatever you call it, it is a time where there is prophesying by the saints to build up the church. All right. Now, we happen in the recovery to practice very much using the Holy Word for morning revival, right? We do that. But sometimes some saints, they didn't get that much from the Holy Word for morning revival. They read a life study in Genesis. Should they prophesy? Do they have the right to prophesy? Are they breaking the law? Not speaking from the Holy Word? Are you with me? No. No. Sometimes those who speak not from the Holy Word speaks better. And it's not because of content difference. It's the person who is ministering or speaking or prophesying. We don't care for, you know, sea stories. We don't care for that kind of thing. We need to improve in our speaking in the meetings. And that's why I strongly recommend to you, there are good books on prophesying. One is called Practice of Prophesying. A lot of that outline from this numbers training comes from that book, Practice of Prophesying. Get that book, two messages. It talks about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, her cousin, how they prophesy to one another, you know, with babies in their womb. Okay, a lot of good points there. But I want to recommend to you three books, which is a set. What is it called? One is called Knowing the Full Knowledge of the Word of God. The second is called Everyone Speaking the Word of God. The third one is called Meeting to Speak the Word of God. That is before brotherly call, prophesying meeting. That came about a year or two later. This is in 1985 in Taiwan. It's three fantastic books that actually were the predecessor of his fellowship much more strongly on prophesying. Very, 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 very good fellowship. Get those three books and read them. And that will help you and even the saints to elevate our practice on prophesying. Okay. So, regardless what, this is the so-called, I call it the second meeting, okay? The second meeting. Now, we are now kind of promoting a third meeting. Now you see. What is this meeting for? Every meeting should have a purpose. What is the third meeting for? I would say the third meeting primarily is to meet not just the saints, because we have a meeting to take care of that already, but a meeting to meet the need of people who are new. We need a Sunday, not Sunday, a Lord's Day morning time for new ones. Sometimes unbelievers. Sometimes brand new believers. Sometimes seeking believers. So this meeting, this third session, attempts to meet that need. And these are all kinds of people. All kinds of people. So what should you do? What should you do? Well, I like to have one session, this third session, is being actually flexible. It's not on one thing. It can flexibly be used to meet the needs of different people coming in, or people we want to restore, or whatever, or unbelievers. Okay? So this third meeting can be used for the gospel. Brother Lee called preaching, teaching, he implies gospel and the truth. So it can be used for gospel truth, which is a form of gospel preaching. This meeting can be used for newly saved, what we call new believers, newly saved. They need a lot of edification on things they don't even know. And we have abundance of resources and materials, in our library. Okay. This meeting can be even used for certain particular burdens. I don't know what, but certain particular burdens. For the congregation, for the church. Okay? So, my point is that this third session, let's not call it gateway, let's not call it anything. Let's just say this third session would be flexibly employed by us, by the local churches, to meet needs. And every church needs, in this respect, are different. If I go today to some small town in Texas, that the people that will come to that meeting is different from Mountain View. Very different. Their background, their culture, their expectation, their taste, very different. You cannot impose a uniform solution or format to take care of all the needs. This is not life. Life must be flexible. You go to Jerusalem today, the church in Jerusalem, it's a different, the outsiders are different kind of people, and you need to speak to that need. Jake talked to some of us, and I really got a burden after his speaking to me. He said, one time, Brother Lee said, we need to come up with a series of tracts or articles or whatever that are based on all the prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. I got burdened. I hope I have time to begin to use prophecies, and there are tons of rich prophecies on Christ or types and so on. You can have dozens and dozens of this. The whole Old Testament is just a picture of Christ. Okay, so to use that to preach to the Jews. They understand that. You talk about Messiah, you talk about the Old Testament. All right? I think you get my point now. Brothers, we need to be flexible. And this is based on the people. You are here to meet needs. You don't expect the shoes to fit, the foot to fit the shoes. Bring out some shoes that will fit the feet. Huh? Am I doing it right?
Don't cut the toes.
Okay, all right, you got it. Now, this even may mean that this season, this next half a year, in our church, we have a particular need in the gospel. And so this third session will turn into a gospel-oriented time. But after 6 months, we have a bunch of new ones. We need to use now this third session for anchoring, establishing them in the faith or as new believers. Then you change. Even there's seasonality to these times. You see, you need to be flexible and not just be stuck. This is a gospel time. No, it can change. And in bigger churches, different districts may have different needs within a church, even language, different languages, different levels of life of the constituency of the membership. So, brothers, I hope you get what I'm saying. But in the main, such a session is to take care of these ones. Okay. So every church would be quite different. Don't try to unify. Even within one church, there may be some differences. No need to unify. But as I joked yesterday, just don't bring in magic and bring in a band. Please don't do that, okay? That's not what we're talking about, flexibility. We don't mean that. Stay within the confines of life. And, right? And the word. I think you understand what I'm saying. Don't bring in the world. Don't bring in stuff like that. Okay, now. Then I would like to suggest that it is good before or after these meetings to have a social atmosphere. You know, new ones, they are looking not just for truth, they're looking for community. Everyone is looking for community. And if they find a community that they feel comfortable in or can relate to, that is a big plus besides the truth, the gospel, and all these things. In fact, we know people who appreciate our truth, but they cannot stay because they don't feel they belong to this community. Now, this doesn't mean we cater and we dumb down or we do worldly things to fit. No, it doesn't mean that. We don't need to do that. We just need to be common people, right? But very sensible and very flexible. You know, brotherly say paste, you know. You know, paste means you fit other people. You don't need expect people to fit you. The cutting the toes. So brothers, be flexible. As long as we don't sin, we don't have the world and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Now, I come to this point. In order to do this, there needs to be labor. Amen. This thing, I tell you, if you don't do this, it's easy. Just show up, Lord's table, the holy word that you haven't even read? You can do it. You can wing it. You can wing it. How many of us wing it on Lord's Day? That's why the prophesy meetings are not rich. They're kind of silence all over the place, because even the leading brothers did not prepare themselves. And how do you expect the saints? So just like the prophesying time, we cannot wing it. This time even the more, because you need to seek the Lord for the word, for the burden. You need to study the need of the church, how to meet that need. You need to get into the word, the ministry, appropriately to find the right things to meet the need. So, brothers, that's actually more work. So I like this word in Timothy. The elder who labor, the word is labor, in the word is worthy of double honor. Why you need some brothers to labor on the word? Because there's a need that require further labor and not just the holy word in your bag and you show up. That doesn't cut it. You need a lot more labor for these for this kind of congregation or audience. And so, brothers, my word, go to work. I won't even tell you what to do. I cannot tell you because I'm not there. Brotherly calls this home cooking. Now, you will never cook like a Michelin chef. Recently, we have a one Michelin dim sum place that showed up in Irvine from Hong Kong. One Michelin star. Do you know one Michelin, how hard to get a one Michelin star? A hole in the wall, dim sum place, got it in Hong Kong. Now they become famous. The first place in this country is Seattle, and then New York. The third is my humble Irvine. And the line is so long, forget about it. You couldn't even get in. So the manager told us, if you want to come and eat without this, come at 3 to 5. So I go there at 3 to 5. I've been there only once. So to not have the line. But 3 to 5 is not lunchtime, nor dinner time. But if you want Michelin food, come at 3 to 5. What am I talking about? Huh? Oh, yeah. You will never make one Michelin dim sum, okay? You will never, never. In fact, whatever you cook will not be fancy food, okay? But you cooked it. You know, today, many households, the mother cannot cook. They cannot cook. They really cannot cook. But they still have to cook. As poor as the food they cook is, they still have to cook. Because it's their family. That's the point. Brother, every local church is your household. You're responsible to bring food. To give food at the appointed time. That's a faithful steward in Matthew 24. What food? Your cooking. We got fancy produce, but someone have to turn that fancy produce into edible food for your folks, for your people. Brothers, you need to labor. I tell you, Saturday should not be an easy day for any one of us. Maybe for the saints, but not for you and I. Because we have a job to do to feed the people. All right? To help feed the people. So that's all I can say. So you need to go to the Lord and pray. You need to fellowship much and know your church's situation and the burden of the saints and so on. And you need to come up with a line, a burden, even seasonally, to meet that need. But I would say this much as a kind of a recommendation. Number one, to have some social time, which is good with snacks, coffee, tea. That's very, very good as an icebreaker. It's just human, just social. This is not, okay? We find that to be very useful, especially with students. You get the stomach, you get the heart, right? Kind of thing. No, it's true. It is true. But just to have that warm atmosphere makes a big difference. So our church is not so stiff and so icy and cold and impersonal. There's just something very warm, friendly about us. This means a lot to just the ordinary person. And then I would say these kind of gatherings need not be so long. I said already, our buns are very hardened, okay? But most people's are not. So, okay, so take care of them. They cannot handle your length of seating or our length of seating. Have mercy on them. Some even don't come back because of the length. You say, what? You want to choose to go to hell and not sit with us? Yeah, some of them, I'd rather go to hell. I can handle this. Okay, brothers, so no need for some long, big meeting, okay? I would like to say, this kind of thing, 40 minutes, 50. The typical college class is 50 minutes. 45, 50 minutes. Then they walk to the next class, right? I think someone did some studies on that, right? So, not so long. Then I would say it is always good to have a release atmosphere. So singing is good, right? The joy, open hearts, singing, a kind of joyful and release atmosphere of the Spirit. That brings life. And everyone, they may not be used to our kind of level of decibel or this or that, but life is life. When you see a happy people, you like to hang around with them. They're a little weird, but they're happy. And this sad world, everyone is looking for some joy. Amen. And brothers, we have the joy of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's display it. Not in a, overpowering or super loud way, but that's what we are. Amen. We are filled with full of the Holy Spirit and joy. Amen. Those are synonyms almost. Amen. Joy and the Spirit are almost synonyms. Okay, and then I would say that you don't need some long, long sermon. Talk about they're not ready for long sermons. I would say 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You can say a lot if you're prepared. If you're unprepared, you go on forever. But you're prepared, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you can say a whole lot. A whole lot. You learn to speak at a level that they can appreciate. You don't just speak doctrines and hard truth. You always learn how to bring it to application and experience. You learn to use stories because stories always brings the point home. And stories always inspires. You know Brother Ken Diller, Austin, the professor? You know him? He teaches a class. And it's an accredited class in UT Austin, and it was unanimously a few years ago voted to be the best class that is sort of extracurricular. I don't know what you call it, elective. His class is the best, and he uses his text, the Recovery Version Bible, and he talks signs. He talked the word. He talked about God's economy. Wow. And with these kids, Texas kids. And so I ran into him 4 years ago in Champaign. you know, next week we're going back to Champaign. 4 years ago we ran to each other. I told him, Ken, do you know TED Talks? And he didn't know TED Talks. I was surprised. You know, all professors should know TED Talks. TED Talks are 20 minutes. They will ding you out of there, okay? 20 minutes. I tell you, some of those 20 minutes are the most inspirational messages. And these people, they sound like they are just extemporaneous. they practice, you know. Now there's a book in Amazon, How to Do TED Talks. So I recommended that to Mr. Diller, and he just told me he got so much help. How to give a short talk. That packs a punch. You know what I mean? That is impactful. Well, brothers, I'm not saying all this kind of thing, but brothers, we need to practice and learn how to share and convey and minister. Then, you know, either some sharing or break up into small groups and just very, very without a form, very, you know, back in Eldon days, brother, one morning we have tables, round tables, and of course it didn't take too long for those round tables to disappear, because in the end, it's not round tables or square tables, it's the people, right? But my point is, brothers, let's be very relaxed, not loose, but relaxed, not stiff. Very, very welcome and welcoming and warm atmosphere, and in that atmosphere, we minister something of Christ, of His Word. And also, that kind of time is very made for small group interaction. So besides a little word or a little short message, whatever it is, a lot of interaction. Q&A with one another, fellowship with another, that kind of a thing. Now, I'm not here to dictate how you should do this. I'm just throwing out some recommendations. Right? But we do need something on Lord's Day as a gate. We do need for more people to come into the church life and into the Lord. Okay? Now, this is only the Lord's Day. I have a lot I have not talked about called home meetings, called twos and threes that are also all gateways. So Lord's Day morning is not where we put all the eggs in that basket, okay? But it is an important time for the typical American. So is that good?
Amen.
I hope this is at least some clarity. Now you go to work.
Amen.
Now you go to cook and fellowship and follow the Lord's leading. Okay, 2 minutes. I want to now just finish up by saying that next August, we're going to have this kind of time, except you won't be here. It'll be your wife's. It'll be a sister's time. Huh? Oh, sorry, in Berkeley. So August 16th? 17th, we'll be in Berkeley with sisters. Come one, come all. Encourage all the sisters to come. I'm totally biased and partial to brothers, and the sisters are not happy about that. We need to take care of the more important half. They are in the church life. Okay? Please promote them and please announce this. Huh? Oh, the time is 10 o'clock. See, we take care of the sisters. To 2 o'clock. Better for them. Huh? With lunch. Yeah, with lunch. Lunch is the last thing. Okay, we'll have more details. Second, Labor Day. Coming Labor Day. Labor Day, I won't be here. Sadly. And also gloriously. So we have much fellowship, and this is what we're going to do. We're going to we select 5 messages from the recent numbers training. Okay? It's messages 2 through 5 and message 12. Go take a look. And we're going to divide up the whole Northern California into 5 areas for just for the Labor Day, each to specialize on one message assigned. The brothers, all the saints. And in fact, we will take these 5 messages, Holy Word, for our use in the month of August, leading up to that time. Right. When I talk about the 5 areas, I mean in the preparatory, in the preparation of these messages, we would, and even in the presentation of these messages, it will be by areas. But we come together at Marriott Hotel on Labor Day, as usual. Hyatt. Then, for each of the messages, let's say message 1 will be certain district of Northern California, but the saints already know about that. They've been getting into it. They may even have some meetings to already fellowship about it. And it's also, we're all doing all the morning revival of all 5 messages, or 4 or 5 messages. We'll all do it together. We all do it. But certain messages will be assigned to that district. And in that meeting, we will have a few brothers to present that word, brothers from that district. And then we may even break up the saints into small groups, you know. Sometimes those are really hot times, very, very good times. And then we can have testimonies at the mic. And then maybe even some older brother would give a concluding word, something that would be very, very rich, very, very rich. This will really be each one has. Actually, I'm happy that I'm not here. Well, I'm not happy, but I'm happy. I'm not happy because I'm going to miss all of this. But I'm happy that because I'm not coming, the Lord brought forth this. Amen. This way. And I hope to see you that this kind of meeting, which you have some experiences of in the past, but let's restore that and let's bring it to another level. I think this will be glorious, absolutely glorious. Okay? And we'll have more details in the days to come. Okay, brothers, I passed the time by 3 minutes already. You have some announcements.